Hi, welcome to the GovLab Collective Intelligence Podcast. In today's episode, we speak with Haris Biskos of Sin Athina about how the city of Athens is working together with its citizens to address urban challenges. So let me tell you a little about Haris, and then he's going to tell you in particular about Sin Athina, but just very briefly. It's a platform where the city of Athens supports citizens, residents of the Athens community, in developing and implementing projects that improve the quality of life in the city. But I'm going to let him tell you about that in detail. But here's a little bit about him and his portfolio. Haris is an architect and urban designer. He's based in Athens. And his, broadly speaking, his work explores contemporary aspirations of urbanism. He works on a wide variety of projects and initiatives and services in the area of urban development and city master plans and policymaking recommendations for public authorities. So he has lots to offer as a master's of architecture with an expertise in urban problem solving and urban planning for the challenges that you guys are thinking about. But what we're going to do is we're going to dive in and actually talk about Sin Athina. And again, I'm recording this. So Haris, thank you very much for joining us. And let's start at the very get-go with having you tell us what is Sin Athina.
Okay, Beth, thank you so much for having me here in this beautiful classroom, and great pleasure to meet you again, actually, digitally. What is Sin Athina? Well, Sin Athina is originally a public platform initiated by the municipality of Athens that engages active citizens, local collectives, grassroots initiatives, and a multitude of stakeholders that care about the city and are active in the city to produce, in collaboration with city government in its different departments, solutions for a number of pressing challenges and needs of the city and the society. Now, Sin Athina facilitates this process, so facilitates and activates synergies with the society and interacts with the public sphere in a number of ways, generating urban and social innovation prototypes that feed the policy-making processes of the municipality of Athens, but also shape mindsets and policy proposals at a European level through the large network of cities and initiatives it has built within the last years of operation. Now, Sin Athina consists of several things. It consists of, first of all, of a digital platform, which is the face of where citizens upload data regarding their actions in the city. So through this platform, the municipality is able to collect the available capacity of the public-spirited citizens of Athens to produce micro-solutions in a neighborhood level, and through this platform maps up-to-date priorities of citizens. So what do citizens do today for the city to improve the urban environment? So registered users of the website simply upload their actions in a shared space digitally as pins that have data on a map. And those data are the type of the initiative they're doing, where the place they're doing, what thematic corresponds to their initiative, etc. How big is their initiative, etc., etc. Now, apart from the digital platform, there is a team of people that sit behind the digital face. It is an office in the municipality with specific roles and skills. We have community liaison officers, communication person, research and innovation, and digital department that support the digital platform. This office, this team of people, meet the collectives, organize reach out activities, engage with communities, and run specific mission implementing projects for the municipality together with an ecosystem of stakeholders. Also consists of a number of missions that it has undertaken, that they're the project-based initiatives that has produced, generating several prototypes tested on the ground for a number of issues that the city is facing. For example, the team has produced a model for placemaking to reactivate publicly owned properties in the city of Athens, working over the redevelopment of a municipal market in the neighborhood of the city, a strategy to combat the infinite tagging and uncontrolled graffiti on the streets of Athens, together with private businesses, people, and municipality services and experts. And also, very recently, it works over a social integration prototypes for refugees and migrants that capitalizes on the vibrant civil society of Athens. So in that sense, Synathinaise is performing as a wider project, as a wider mindset, we could say, for inclusive and participative approaches with a number of derivatives that feed or affect larger or smaller policies of the municipality.
Harris, let me interrupt you here for a moment to just take us back to when the project was founded, and it's unique in its longevity in that it dates back already to 2013. So this is not, to make clear to people, this is not a one-off pilot or an experiment that it's something that may have started that way, but has lasted for a very long time. Can you just take us back very briefly to describe to us what was the problem that the original founders, Amalia Zepou, the documentary filmmaker, and Athens mayor, George Kaminis, were trying to solve at the time? So in other words, what is this? We always like to talk about defining our problem here. What's the problem to which this is a solution?
The major challenge Athens was facing back in 2013, first and foremost, was a mass disillusionment toward public institutions and also Europe. It was a big problem. While at the same time, the city was unable to respond to new and urgent needs it had. So poverty and unemployment that were the immediate results of the financial crisis that was brought in 10 years ago, brought urban collapse, closed shops, vacant properties and buildings, neglected public spaces in the city, and extreme social tension. So Athens was undergoing through a crisis, a financial, a social, a political, and a moral crisis as well. So people were turning against any form of government in all possible ways, while the municipality had to face a huge debt, bailout guidelines to reduce its capacity of city employees, while it was not allowed to hire new ones. And in general, it was accused for its low capacity, corruption, and clientelism. The newly elected administration, led by the mayor Kamin, with Amalia Zepou, who is actually the founder of, as a vice mayor for civil society and innovation, thought to face those challenges, investing in the city's most invaluable resource, which was its people. So from individual citizens, grassroots groups, and city collectives, up to larger businesses and philanthropic foundations, etc., which were all of them taking independent initiatives and spending energy for the city at that particular time to improve life around them, represented a resource which was out there in all the different layers of the society, contributing with undocumented solutions and energy to a number of smaller or larger problems the city had been facing. In an effort to turn this traditional coercive power relationship that we see in traditional governance models to a participative approach, the city invested in empowering this civil society, which was turning against the city government at that particular time, empowering the civil society and nurture collaborations over problem solving. So trust was directed towards the society, and the municipality of Athens decided to trust its public-spirited citizens and make them actors and co-owners of impactful solutions for the city.
Can you give us some idea right now of how big the site is? How many projects are going on? I'm sure that since we've written about it, it's grown. How many users are there? How many projects are on the site? What's the just volume of activity?
Synathinaise is a quite large project, and because it's open to a broad range of initiatives, as long as they're not operating for the private profit, so they're operating for the public benefit, and they're not supporting a discrimination actions. So all of them are welcome. Now, in Athens, we have been witnessing through the last decade, from the beginning of the financial crisis, an outbreak of initiatives around coming from the society around a broad spectrum of issues and priorities, such as environmental actions, renewable energy sources, or like recycling initiatives, social solidarity, which has been like quite a big priority of the city, that offers services to refugees, minorities, and other vulnerable groups in the society, but other initiatives as well, like oral and urban history capturing, contemporary crafts, theater groups, placemaking initiatives, social economy hubs, etc., etc. So it's all kinds of a multitude, a real multitude of smaller or larger efforts in the city to tackle pressing challenges in a local level. And now today the platform counts around 450 community groups which are officially registered, officially connected with the municipality. Not all of them are active, but our project is creating synergies with a broader network of stakeholders and actors that are not necessarily registered in the platform, but work together with our team and the municipality of Athens in several projects every year. Now, if I had to describe the types of those collectives we have been working with, which are a lot, I would say the following types. We're talking about independent city collectives like creative startups, or which is a young generation of people who is experimenting over ideas freely in the city, producing smaller collectives. Now, some of those collectives, some of those freestyle movements progressing into NGOs and non-for-profit and social businesses, and they acquire some sort of legal status and some kind of structure. But then also we have individual citizens, both as volunteers, participants, but also as initiators. And we have witnessed many times individuals coming in our office and sharing what they do in the city, sharing their ideas and sharing their need for support. We also work with local associations, which are more traditional forms of collectives that lay in the neighborhoods and they are quite unknown and they perform under the radar. And of course, we work with larger organizations in Athens and globally. They could also be public institutions, government institutions. They could be national university departments, private companies, large-scale NGOs. Like, for example, today we're working with ActionAid, Solidarity Mission, Caritas, International Rescue Committee over this project we're doing with refugee integration, for example. So all of those types have their position inside the ecosystem, and we have built synergies with those groups at different circumstances.
Can I want to ask you about one kind of project in particular. So there is some work that you've been doing, and you mentioned this at the beginning, with regard to better integration of immigrants into Athens. Can you tell us a little bit more just to help people understand how the platform works and what kind of activities happen there? What are the ways in which you're actually helping refugees and migrants using this kind of collective intelligence approach?
Well, Curing the Limbo is a pilot project, is a project that is being tested right now, and which builds tries to build a holistic model for social integration, addressing the issue of long-term inactivity that characterizes a large part of Athens' refugee population. Now, the program is funded by an organization entitled Urban Innovative Actions, which is an initiative of the European Union, and the budget is 5 million euros. It's a large-scale project and is developed by a multifaceted consortium led by the municipality of Athens that supports refugees who have granted asylum and live in Athens to overcome their state of inertia and their sense of social exclusion by becoming more active and more socially engaged. Now, beneficiaries of the program receive enhanced and meticulously designed priority integration services through a palette of programs that we have built with the help of our partners, such as a social rental agency that supports refugees into the process of affordable housing, experience-based learning center with language courses and soft skills training that open up to the city, case monitoring and psychosocial support, the street law, etc. Now, at the same time, refugees that participate in the program establish partnerships and connections with the society of Athens and its people, contributing to the needs of the local communities and participating in citizen-led activities with straight impact in the life of the neighborhoods of Athens. Now, to model those connections with the city and the civil society, the municipality of Athens, through Syn Athina, with our team, has structured an agile and versatile accelerator platform entitled Co-Athens, which nurtures and empowers collaborations among refugees and locals. Refugees and locals work together to co-develop actions with local positive impact for Athens and bring people closer around creative ideas. Now, the program consists of a series of open calls, a funding scheme that finance diverse startups, experiential workshops, ideation sessions, mentoring, capacity building, public debates, neighborhood reach out events, etc. It's a kind of a big project. Now, it is positioned at the heart of Curing the Limbo as an innovation frontrunner to help develop an inclusive model for integration. And today, it supports 9 collaborative projects among almost 40 refugees and 40 locals over a range of thematic priorities that address neighborhood needs and refugee skills. Now, some examples would be we're having a neighborhood park placemaking initiative through the creation of a local football academy in the neighborhood of Athens, renewable energy community, cooperative actually, with a legal status, an exchange food laboratory that works with digital cooking meetups during these days of COVID, theater and music platform that collects stories and urban myths from Exarchia here in Athens, a pilot documentary educational-based program, etc., etc. So there's a wide palette of initiatives nurtured by the program. Now, today, the initiative is taking place inside this environment of uncertainty, defined by strong social distancing measures and restrictions to public and private activity. So we have been investing in devising alternative practices using digital tools to keep people together. So we can say that our project Co-Athens is an initiative that is performing as a catalyst of communication that can bring people closer, helping us empower isolated and even more than before, refugees, but citizens as well. So it works in equal citizens and refugees.
So this all sounds quite amazing. I wanted to ask you, though, a bit about the challenges. So obviously, and especially what's quite unique, I think, and hard maybe for people to appreciate how extraordinary it is for a project to really survive also across the transition of political administrations. As we think about, just for people in this country or all around the world, you think about a transition from Trump to Biden or from Obama to Trump and Trump to Biden. One administration loves to undo whatever the last administration did. And that's very typical, even at the local level. So very curious, really, what some of the challenges were along the way in trying to really have this radically new model of solving problems in a city, doing it in a collaborative and collective way. What were the challenges that you faced, and a little about how you overcame them?
I'd say that the most persistent challenge that the project has been facing has been to convince municipality on the necessity of Sin Athina. Municipalities, and especially Athens municipality, with all those urgent priorities, the extreme pressure from the society that cares about solving problems right here and right now, has been always skeptical over the necessity and the value of a such project. And I'm not talking about investing in funding from the public reserve, but I'm referring to involving the project to priority actions. Here we had to create many bridges with other municipality departments and collaborate with other programs of the city, pushing forward the necessity of the notion of participation when modeling solutions for the society. Now, participative approaches are approaches that are, I'd say, that are slower, much slower than the traditional approaches, the traditional solutions that the municipality is offering to this number of challenges the city is facing. So you need a lot of time to engage with people. You need a lot of time to create these communication bridges. You need a lot of time to convince people, visit your office, upload your activities online, create a set of data, and try to create a model of governance through data. So this is a kind of a big process. It's not today we have a problem with an empty building and we solve it today. It takes a long time. But at the end, it gives you a much more sustainable and inclusive approaches. Now, what we also did is that we managed to develop pragmatic solutions for a number of challenges the municipality has been facing, such as, for example, the refugee issue or the issue of vacant properties in the city or the graffiti project that we did several years ago, which is actually today the graffiti strategy we built with the municipality has been incorporated by the newly elected 1.5 year old administration as the strategy to combat graffiti in the streets. Now, so municipality is one part of the challenge. The other part is the civil society. It's about managing, working, and collaborating with civil society, with people who want to be independent in many ways, that would approach a collaboration with a municipality with fear or mistrust, or they would be opportunistic about. We have experienced that many times, and even today with the project with refugees, we were doing that. We were experiencing this opportunism coming from the civil society who saw in our faces the friendly, open, young generation of people, the perfect opportunity to take the money and run. This is so civil society is also a very big challenge, how to establish a clear relationship with them and how to establish the link, because we're sitting in between somehow, in between the society and the municipality, to create this bridge among them.
So I want to just ask you one or two more questions here and then dive into our audience questions in just a moment. And really is to get you to reflect on the experience from the broader perspective of collective intelligence projects, more generally open innovation projects. This is, to my mind, Sin Athina is a paradigmatic example of really solving problems using collective intelligence. And I want to ask you, based on your experience, what kind of problems lend themselves well to this kind of crowd-based approach and what don't? What problems don't lend themselves? Do you have any kind of general lessons learned for people about how to think about solving problems with the crowd?
Well, I believe that there is a broad range of issues that a city administration could use the crowd to face and tackle them. So for me, it's not about the kind of problems, but about the level of engagement in each one of those issues and thus that you're choosing, and thus the kind of methods, practices, and tools that the city could use each time, or the different types of engagement. So I think that most of the problems a city is facing, you could use methods and tools of that refer to collective intelligence and crowdsourcing models. And for many of those issues, you can turn to your citizens to engage with them, to find solutions in one way or the other. But I think the level of engagement and the type of engagements is something that you could choose for each time. So it could be, for example, it could be about collecting data through an app, through an application or a digital platform. It could be about debating with people on certain issue. For example, we did that in when we started this social inclusion program for migrants and refugees, we started debating with people. We started visiting the neighborhoods of Athens, like physically speaking, organizing public events, neighborhood reach out events in physical spaces, street games and other activities with people. And through those activities, we created a public debate on the role of refugees, on the needs of the society, on the needs of the neighborhoods, and how we could bridge those two worlds. Or it could be also collecting ideas or proposals, like participatory budgeting is doing, platforms that work with participatory budgeting, where people register and upload ideas and specific robust proposals about a certain issue in the city. So it is not about what kind of problems, but I think it's about what is the level and what is the type of engagement you would like to use as a municipality in each of the cases.
Let me shift for a moment my last question and then just a heads up to others that I'm going to call on you to ask the wonderful questions you're putting on the chat, is I want to ask you a personal question here. Don't worry, not that personal. We'll see if we get there. This is really about the skills that it takes to become someone who knows how to organize and mobilize so many people. For everybody who's in the class today, for everybody who's listening to this, these are people thinking about how do we do this ourselves? Really, how do we use collective intelligence to solve problems? How can I be somebody who, even though I'm working full time, I'm going to school full time, I'm stuck indoors from the pandemic, how can I be somebody who can mobilize large groups of people? Can you say a little bit more about the skills that you've needed, that your colleagues have needed to become effective at really using these kinds of approaches? What does it take to transform a city like this? And what advice would you have for people who are learning these skills for how they can educate and train themselves to become more effective change makers like you've been?
I think that the most important issue that when coming from the municipality and addressing the society, the most important issue that you are going to face is the level of trust, is to try to build trust among a government which you represent and the society that is usually broken, at least in Athens, and I think in other places of the world, but in Athens, where we have been experiencing this turmoil and this really big wave against any kind of governance, we had to rebuild trust. And to rebuild trust, I think first and foremost, you have to always rely on a very clear and very simple plan, something that people will look at it and say that, okay, this is something that looks something that I can trust. So people want to see the whole idea, not just a few words, but explain them what you're doing, explain them what is the project about, and be sincere. So unveil the whole story, because to be a professional politician is the other way. It's about hiding. It's about not unveiling the whole story, but it's about unveiling certain parts of the story. I think that if you want to build a level of trust with the citizens, you have to unveil the whole story, and then you have to be patient, and you have to treat people like somehow like your friends. And this takes time. It's not that you will send an email and people will correspond, but it's about sending an email, making a phone call, sending a follow-up email about the results that you had in the last conversations you did with all those people together, inviting them into the city hall. This is like making friends in a way. You have to invest in people. When you're dealing with people, invest in people. And this is a slow process, right? And the results are not coming easily in the beginning. And many of the experiments we're doing, and many of the experiences you are going to be doing, are going to fail. But do not hasten to reach out to conclusions. This is also something I think important. And later on...
Sorry. We very much want to keep talking with you.
Hi. Yeah. Okay. Let me just read it directly. I was wondering, like, are there any challenges, since this is it's a website, are there challenges with involving people who aren't actively online or have access to the internet reliably for coordinating projects or really getting involved in their community? And if so, are there, what kind of adjustments have been made to address that where necessary? Are there a lot of components that are more in the physical world to this site, or?
Yes, definitely. We for that reason, we combine the physical with the digital. I think that the digital is not coming by itself, and people will not just open the website and upload activities, because this can takes time. You have to register, you have to write many things, et cetera, et cetera. So in order to create a relationship with this project, you have to meet people. And you have to reach out, you have to meet people, and you have to meet them face by face or making a phone call. So that's why we have a large strategy with reach out activities, be it visiting neighborhoods, open calls that we organize, funded activities, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the physical and the digital should be combined in this case.
Okay, thank you.
Let's go over to Devlin's question. So let's do Devlin's question next.
Hi, hello. Thank you for speaking with us. This is awesome. So my question is, do you find that the pandemic has recently brought to light issues or insufficiencies on the part of services to citizens? And has it sparked additional participation in your programs in recent times?
Definitely, yes. I think that it depends. Yes, in Athens, I think, yes, we definitely, the pandemic definitely brought the light to issues of insufficiencies. Yes, observing how other municipalities have been facing, had the tools and the processes and the capacity to face, to help the society face the pandemic, I'd say that Athens was actually falls a little bit behind on that. We need to do some steps further on that issue. But with the level of participation, I think that the pandemic increased the level of participation in a smaller number of activities that we have been doing to service the society. So we have fewer activities, but the level of participation is much larger. Of course, we had to devise alternatives and to work in many alternative ways to find the solution on how to activate people around creative ideas and around ideas that improve the neighborhoods. So yes, there are insufficiencies, but I think there are some steps forward in the city definitely happening today.
Let's go to Zach's question. How unreasonable or unfeasible are requests from citizens addressed? For example, have people expressed a desire to do away with COVID-19 public health measures or expressed anti-refugee sentiments as a problem through Sin Athina? So what do you do with, let's call them, antisocial or unproductive requests?
Yes, many times, especially with the refugee issue. This has been the case many times. We have been coming into contact with people in the neighborhoods. We try to do what we do. We try to show that such inclusive ideas and such inclusive processes are processes that benefit both the local society and beneficiaries of a program. With Curing the Limbo and Co-Athens, we have been working. This has been our strategy to offer impact for Athens and its people, and impact for refugees. Yes, we're taking different strategies each time, but also in other cases. For example, when we did this community project for the abandoned municipal market here in Athens, a building that had been abandoned for several years, we had to go out and create this public debate in the neighborhood of Kypsele here in Athens. And we, in the beginning, people were like furious. How can you do a public debate for a building which is 10 years empty and you're responsible for that? We do what we do. Is that what we do? We don't change our strategy. We do it slowly, engaging with people, doing our phone calls, creating open calls, open it up to the society. We would like to hear people who are not feeling happy, who are quite unhappy and who are skeptical. And this is part of the process, I think.
Great. Now let's do two questions at the same time because they're related, from Gabriella and from Sophia. Whichever one, Sophia, you want to go first, and then Gabriella, and then we'll let Haris answer. Sophia Jordan. All right, let's go over to Gabriella Gutierrez.
Hello, Haris. Thank you so much for being here. I just wanted to know, like, how you plan to ensure future success so that the project has transcendence, like how to assure that new immigrants are also integrated, and how you see the project growing basically in the next 5-10 years, and if you hope to see giving a continuity.
In the first case, it's important, I think, in such kind of projects to create a very rigid, very detailed evaluation method. And in Sinathi now, we have several evaluation systems to be able to measure the impact of the things that we're doing. So there is impact into our smaller activities, into the activities we are doing, but it's also a larger impact into the society of Athens that we're measuring. Now, in terms of the impact into the smaller activities and the impact into the neighborhoods of Athens, we have specific indicators we're measuring, but also we have qualitative methods with interviews and face-to-face or smaller group discussions that we do. For example, in the refugee projects we're doing, integration is a very big discussion. Are people integrated? I don't know. And it's too short to say. But yes, we're combining metrics, but also specific questions we're doing to people in the neighborhoods and refugees as well at the same time to measure the progress they do throughout the project and throughout the activities we're offering to them. Now, in terms of the society, which is a kind of a larger impact, I think that now at a certain extent has impacted the city into unleashing this creativity that slowed down the turmoil that we see, that we have been witnessing in all forms against city government that we have been witnessing in the last 10 years. Now, the future of Sinathina, what is the future? Well, I'm not so sure. It has always been, and because we've been talking about challenges, this is one of the most important challenges of Sinathina, is it has a fragile future. It has a fragile future because it's not a city service, an official city service. But today we can say that we have been witnessing the municipality changing all those years. So now the newly elected administration, which is 1.5 years old, has a vice mayor for civil society and it has an advisor to the mayor for civil society. And we're working with those two to find a solution to keep Sinathina running for the next 5 years. I don't know if this is going to be a success, but probably it's going to be. So the future is fragile. So yes, I don't have a clear plan of how Sinathina is going to look like the next 5 years.
Let's go over to Billy's question.
Oh, I actually didn't post it yet. Just a sec.
Nope. We're good. You don't have to post it. Just tell us in the interest of time. Okay. Ask your question.
Yeah. So I have two questions. First is about spreading awareness about Sinathina. And then also, you were addressing like unreasonable and unfeasible problems. Like, what would qualify as an unfeasible problem? Like, what is the process you take to determine, after looking at a problem, if this is a feasible problem for Sinathina to be able to solve?
That's a good question. First of all, this is a process we're doing in collaboration with other people. For example, the mayor. So the mayor is, and we together, or he's deciding who is going to be involved in what kind of project. But I'd say that we evaluate certain priorities of the city and see, and we're looking at what is the activity in Athens. So for example, let's say we have today the refugee issue. We have been witnessing a huge amount of activity in Athens regarding the refugee issue. Smaller or larger initiatives by citizens, by smaller NGOs, by larger NGOs that deal with this issue. So, and that is Synathina. Synathina declares that the municipality is not the maker of the city, but the city is already there. So for a certain problem, in order to be able to judge if it qualifies for our strategy and our team, we look at the society and we are able to map the solutions offered by the society for the certain problem. And this is the way we do it.
Let's see if we can squeeze in very briefly two last questions here. Ria is next.
Hi, I appreciate you coming to speak to us about this. And I was just wondering, how does Synathina measure success in its programs or in all aspects? For example, does it measure the participation in its programs or just direct feedback from the participants or just overall levels of interactiveness between all of the parties?
To create synergies and facilitate the synergies we have been creating for certain issues in one way or the other, we're using an evaluation system that the different cases that interacts with different cases and when necessary, of course. Now, community activities and the activities we have been mapping and we have been creating collaborations with those activities have their own, for example, they have their own activity profile chart. And we are evaluating what is happening out there in the city according to the visibility, the scale they have, the connectivity. How many synergies did people do to implement a certain solution? The originality of the ideas, regularity, if it's happening for a long time or if it's a one-shot project. But also the potential of solutions to be incorporated or to change several things concerning the priorities and the policies in the municipality. But also we have other types of evaluation. So for example, we're issuing many open calls towards the society for certain to involve them to certain problems. So for example, when we had this vacant market into the city and we wanted to find a way for a new model for governance, we published an open call open to the society, whoever wants to come with a proposal on how to manage the market. So, and there we had specific criteria and specific indicators to evaluate those proposals and to evaluate the groups that were interested to be able to take the market and manage it for the next 5 years. And the same we do with refugees project, with Co-Athens, etc., etc. Also, we have the quantitative methods. Quantitative methods is the stories we collect from people. Collecting stories of impact or collecting interviews with people or then other ideas we have been utilizing is combining activities with evaluation processes. So for example, in order to map the priorities of refugees at this particular moment in the city, we scheduled a series of debates with them, with beneficiary refugees of our program, and we mapped down stories from their experiences in the city. And those stories, we took them and we exhibited in public, in the public space of Athens, together with photographs from refugees who actually took part in a specific workshops that we organized. So in a way, it's a creative way to do an evaluation, combine creativity and technical data and stories and qualitative methods together. So this is how we do this.
I think it's just incredibly engaging, the stories of how you are and you and your team have really been fundamentally transforming the way a city works. With that, Michael's going to ask you a less hopeful question for a moment.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming to speak to us. But I was just wondering, have there been any projects or aspects of Synathina that didn't work as planned when they were introduced and that maybe had to be shifted or changed later on?
Yes, all of them, quite all of them, I'd say. You plan a project, it's, I think, one aspect of those initiatives involving people and which are also larger scale initiatives that affect policies and they take a lot of time, means that your plans are going to change many times. In Curing the Limbo, for example, in Co-Athens, we changed our plans severely in the project and we did it from the beginning all over again. With Kipseli Market and the reactivation plan of our market, we had the plan and then it was destroyed in the first year. It's all the time. Our plans are we have to redesign and replan our activities and replan our goals. For example, now with COVID, we had this project CoAthens, and CoAthens invests in building collaborations among refugees and locals to do public activities in the city. And the day we started, the COVID hit. We started March 2020. So what are we going to do? We just redesigned it, the whole thing. And we planned, we replanned the priorities, replanned the activities, the time plan, et cetera, et cetera. So yes, most of the times, or maybe all of the times, you have to face disaster, or you have to face change of plans. But you have to be flexible, I think.
It's a fantastic question. I think with that said, we're going to thank you very much again for your time today.
Take care, Beth. Everybody. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon with another exciting episode. Again, check out thegovlab.org/collectiveintelligence.